الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله إلى كافة الناس بشيرًا ونذيرًا وداعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. وقال تعالى: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, an ayah which was recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that fasad, corruption, has manifested itself on land and sea, and this is due to the actions of mankind, due to our flagrant violations of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to neglecting our salah, not discharging our zakah. We are inviting the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We invite difficult conditions and situations upon ourselves. If we have to ponder and reflect, then we will all find in our lives, be it on a micro level, in our personal lives, in our businesses, our professions, in our families, we will find that there is some difficulty or hardship, suffering. Or be it on a larger scale, an entire community, an entire country, an entire nation, we will find that there is always some hardship, suffering and difficulty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to us that this is based on a system of cause and effect. As everything else in the world, there is a system of cause and effect. And there is two levels to the system of cause and effect. The first is that which meets the eye. A person sees it, he understands it, that if he does a certain thing, the reaction, the outcome will be in a certain manner. And this is dependent on an unseen system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of cause and effect. As for the first system, that system which meets the eye, a person is exposed to this from the moment he enters into this world. The first thing a person does, he cries. And then he learns that the reaction to crying will be that my parents will pick me up. And then as the child grows, the child understands that when I am hungry, if I cry, I will be given food. Food will satiate my hunger. So every person believes, he has yaqeen, he has conviction that if he is hungry, then he just has to eat a few morsels of food, his hunger will be satiated. If he is thirsty, he has to drink a few sips of water, and his quench will be thirst. So this is one system of cause and effect. On a larger level, on a global scale, if some so-called natural disaster has to strike, if there's to be an earthquake, as has recently occurred, or there's to be a tsunami, then this will be attributed to the shifting of the tectonic plates. Or sometimes a tsunami will be attributed to some huge portion of a mountain which falls into the ocean, displacing large amounts of water. And it will be said that this is the cause of the tsunami. So if a tsunami has to take place, then these are the two likely causes. It's one of these two causes. Even closer, if we have to look, if some disease, some virus has to spread throughout the world, then it will be said the cause of this was some flying creature or some lab in some remote corner of the world. So this is the system of cause and effect that meets the eye. While we do not deny the system of cause and effect, we need to place it in its correct perspective. We understand that these conclusions are reached by the experts in their respective fields. And they will continue doing research, they will continue investigating, and it is highly, very likely that in future, their research will be more accurate than it is today. It is also possible that the research will completely change. They will have a new theory in the future. Or if we look at the situation in various parts of the world where the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is suffering, going through hardships, oppression, then it will be attributed to some political decisions that are being taken or that were taken in the past. It will be attributed to the lack of action
from the leaders of the Muslim countries, the Arab countries, the weakness of the Muslim Ummah. There will be various reasons which we will place, which we will give to an action, to an outcome. But as believers, we understand that there is an unseen system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of cause and effect. The first level of the system, even a disbeliever believes, he understands. If he has to make use of the means, he will receive the desired outcome. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the Quran, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا, that they have superficial knowledge of the affairs of this world. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ, but when it comes to matters relating to the akhirah, when it comes to matters relating to those aspects which are unseen, which a person cannot see with his eye, وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ غَافِلُونَ, then they are completely ignorant. They have no knowledge relating to these matters, because they do not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They do not believe in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As believers, on the other hand, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe in the finality of the prophethood, the messengerhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe in whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought down to us. We might have not seen Jannah, we have not seen Jahannam, but we believe that we will one day wake up, we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. Jannah and Jahannam will be in front of us. And they are a reality. A person will either enter Jannah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from them, or a person will enter Jahannam. And we understand that this world is only for 60, 70 years a person will reign in this world. We know he will lead this world. A kafir also believes this. But we have a further belief that the world of the Akhirah, the life of the Akhirah is everlasting. There is no end to the life of the Akhirah. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ, but the disbelievers, the non-Muslims, their knowledge doesn't extend as far as the Akhirah. Their knowledge only extends as far as the eye can see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in this ayah which was recited, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, that when fasad, when hardship, suffering, trials, tribulations become apparent on land and sea, بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains why this occurs, due to the actions of people. Mufassirin, many mufassirin, Allama Bidawi, Allama Alusi, Allama Madhari, and many others explain what this word fasad means. And this is a miracle of the Quran, a mu'jiza of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses one word. But to understand this, we need a few sentences to understand what this one word means. This word fasad, when fasad becomes widespread on land and on sea, the mufassirin explain, what is this fasad? Kal jadbi wal mautan. This fasad refers to droughts and plagues. When there is a drought, there is shortage of water, there are plagues on earth. Wa kathrat al haraqi wal gharaq. There is an abundance of fires, of drownings, be it in an ocean, be it through tsunamis, be it through a flood, heavy rains. How often don't we hear of drownings in a certain place? So many people are drowned, so many people are missing. وَكَثْرَةِ الْغَرَقِ وَالْحَرَقِ وَمَحْقِ الْبَرَكَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَقِلَّةِ الْمَنَافِعِ فِي الْجُمْلَةِ. And this is something every person can relate to. وَمَحْقِ الْبَرَكَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, when barakah and blessings are removed from everything. وَقِلَّةِ الْمَنَافِعِ فِي الْجُمْلَةِ, when things are no more as beneficial as they used to be. If a person has to look at time, everyone is complaining. Time just flies by. The month has barely started and it is already the end of the month. The week barely began and it is already the new week. The weekend has approached. The year has barely begun and it is already the new year. The end of the year is coming. وَمَحْقِ الْبَرَكَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, there is no more barakah in time. If a person looks at his health, every person is complaining of some sickness, some pain, some illness or the other. How many people don't have very serious complaints regarding their health? وَمَحْقِ الْبَرَكَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is a sign, this is fasad, when there is no barakah in a person's time, a person's health. Everyone is complaining of inflation, things are more expensive, day by day prices are rising. There is no barakah in a person's risk. وَمَحْقِ الْبَرَكَاتِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Mufassirin explained that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when he says fasad becomes widespread on earth. وَقِلَّةِ الْمَنَافِعِ فِي الْجُمْلَةِ وَالظُّلْمِ وَالْأَمْرَاضِ, and when dhulam becomes widespread, oppression becomes widespread, every person will look at a global level. You will say the American regime is very oppressive. the Jews of Palestine, how much oppression are they committing? But this is addressed to you and I, to look in our own lives and see how much oppression am I committing on myself, on my family, on the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Muazzin calls out the Adhan for the Fajr Salah, and I do not lift up the blanket from my body, I choose the warmth of the bed over the Fajr Salah. With dhulm, then I am committing oppression upon myself. I am opening up myself to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only myself, many a times a person will say that this is between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has nothing to do with you, I will make tawbah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, on one occasion, sami'a rajulan yaqul, he had overheard a person mentioning, inna al-zalim la yadurru illa nafsa, that when a person commits oppression, he is only committing oppression, he is only harming himself, it has nothing to do with anyone else. This enraged Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Immediately he remarked, Bala wallah, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I take an oath in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is not the case, you are speaking a lie. Hatta anna al-hubara latamutu fi wakriha, to such an extent that even if a bird has to die and to lose its life while it is in its nest, bidhulmi al-zalim, then the cause of this is due to the oppression of an oppressor. Wadhulmi wal-amarat, the dhulam which we commit, be it missing out salah. We give preference to our livelihood, our profession, our business, the time of Dhuhr and Asr. How many people are present in the masjid compared to time of Jumu'ah, the Eid Salah? We give preference to our worldly pursuits. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how many times haven't they indicated that our rizq, our livelihood has a direct link to our salah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that our rizq is linked to our salah. And we see with our eyes that if a person has to make an effort, he has to work hard, he has to study, he has to work hard, he makes an effort, then his risk will increase. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if we come to the masjid, when the muazzin calls out, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, come to salah, come to success, success in every aspect of our life, be it our financial life, be it our health, be it our dunya, wa akhirah, wa qabr, success is only in the masjid, in salah. But we give preference to what the disbelievers also see, that success is only linked to my hard work, my effort. When our yaqeen comes back to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when our yaqeen comes back to what Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and not only what our eyes see, then the hardships, the difficulties will be removed from us. Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu anhu on one occasion mentioned, كَادَ الْجُعَلُ يَهْلِكُ فِي جُحْرِهِ بِذَنْبِ ابْنِ آدَمِ, that even when a dung beetle loses its life in its hole or in its burrow, then this also, the cause of it is due to the oppression, due to the dhulam, due to the sin which Ibn Adam commits. When man commits a sin, he doesn't only open himself up to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is oppressing his body, but all those around him suffer, his family, the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the other creatures, the animals, the insects also suffer due to the sin of Ibn Adam. When we commit sins, the entire ummah suffers. How often won't we hear a person saying that this difficult conditions is carrying on for so many years, and ulama continue mentioning that we need to change our life, we need to bring taqwa in our life. But this words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue being true, being relevant until the day of Qiyamah, as relevant as it was when it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Experts in their fields, they might change their reasonings, their reasons will change, but the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never change. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this deen is complete, the system which I have sent down to you is complete, there will be no change to it. So we need to understand that when difficult situations, wa dhulmi wal amrad, when all these things become widespread on earth, droughts, plagues, abundance of fires and drownings, and removal of barakah from everything in general, oppression and sickness is widespread, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the reason to this. Whatever reason we might place to it, the non-Muslims might place to it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divinely informing us. The reason is, bima kasabat aydin nas, it is due to what you have earned, what you have brought upon yourself. And again, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, liyudhiqahum ba'da alladhi amilu. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us this punishment in this world, a taste of our punishment? Because if a person is placed into an exam hall, into an examination room, then he is not given any assistance. He is left to himself to do as he wishes, to answer it as he desires, and his results will be given to him after the examination. In the same way, this world is an examination hall. Our results will be given to us on the day of Qiyamah, either on our right hand to those who are successful, those who will be unsuccessful in their left hands, behind their backs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind that even in this examination hall, while we are going through this examination, if we misunderstand a question, we are not answering a question correctly, we are not fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He has demanded, as He has instructed us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. This is a slight nudge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an indication from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you still have a chance to correct yourself. I have given you the eraser of tawbah and istighfar. Remove this answer which you have written. Change your ways. Make amends for what you have done. I will wipe out the effects of what you have done. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. And return back to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Carry, be successful in this examination. So this is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whatever suffering, difficulty and hardship comes upon this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, it is only through the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to understand that whatever is occurring in this world, in my life, to the ummah at large, this is by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. Any difficulty and hardship afflicts you, although it is with my permission that I allow it to afflict you, فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, because you have brought this upon yourself. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ, so that we may return to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the result, what is the approach of a believer to these hardships, to these difficult conditions? First, we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed these difficult conditions to befall us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the solution. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. And as for that person who has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will divinely inspire him, I will divinely guide him, I will place the correct thoughts, the correct chain of thoughts, the correct pattern, the correct result in his mind. He will understand what to do through my divine intervention. وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that whatever we are going through, whatever sufferings, hardships, trials and tribulations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in the opening verses of Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in length the qualities of a believer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. The first quality of a believer, of the muttaqeen, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes and discusses, are those who have complete belief in the unseen systems of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Because every person believes in that which he sees, a Muslim, a kafir. But a believer is unique in the sense that he believes in the unseen systems of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the solution. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة. The way out of our suffering, our difficulty, is to turn to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn to salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. That if an entire nation, an entire tribe, a huge army has to gather and they have to try to bring some benefit to you, لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. They will not be able to bring any benefit to you except to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ. And if they have together with all the strength, all the force, the equipment, the machinery, and they have to try to bring some harm to you, to afflict you in a certain way, لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. They will not be able to harm you except to such an extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. And if you have to make, be patient, you have to practice sabr, وَتَتَّقُوا. And you have to turn back to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Return to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا. Whatever plans they might have, the plans will never afflict you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again informs us, وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for us to turn back to Him so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive our sins. The ayah which was recited in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the solution to place all the affairs of our life in order. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The solution which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is such that we all take our time of our daily lives. This valuable capital of time which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we take our time from our daily to engage in this. But if we do not see the desired effects in our life, then there is none but ourselves to blame. If a person, a sick person, is to go to a doctor, go to some specialist, and this doctor is to give him medication, and he has to tell him exactly how to take it, that this medication should be taken. For example, when you wake up on an empty stomach, then it will be effective. You will gain cure through this medication. But this person doesn't. He purchases this medication. It's very expensive. But he doesn't follow the instructions of the doctor. Before he goes to sleep, on a full stomach, he takes this medication. Then he will not find the desired effects. He will not find cure and shifa from this medication. Then there is none to blame but himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tells us, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that the way to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the simple manner, the prescription to get the complete deen in our lives, is to turn to salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The effect of salah will be that all obscene actions, all sins will come out of your life. But if we perform salah and we still find ourselves committing sins, then there is none to blame but ourselves. Do we perform salah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us? When the muadhin calls out the adhan, do we proceed to the masjid, perform salah 5 times a day behind the imam as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us? Or do we give preference to our worldly needs? We perform salah in our business place, our workplace, because we do not have that few minutes to travel to the masjid, to return to our businesses. So we perform salah in our workplaces, at our homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That salah will benefit you. That salah will remove sins from your life. That salah will bring you closer to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is performed as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us. When a person is complete khushu and khudu in salah, when his outward postures of salah are correct in accordance to the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his inward condition of salah, his khushu is completely, his devotion is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his thoughts are not on his worldly belongings and possessions, then قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those believers are successful who have khushu and khudu in their salah. Their salah will have the desired effects on their life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to understand that whatever difficulty comes upon our lives, comes upon us, comes upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is a reminder from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a gentle nudge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are not proceeding in the correct direction. You are going off sirat al-mustaqim. This is a reminding, a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it is before it is too late, come back to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the easiest method of doing this, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed, is to be punctual on our salah, to be in the masjid 5 times a day, to perform our salah behind the imam with jama'at. Then we will find the desired effects of the salah. Sins slowly, one by one, will leave our life. Sins will distance themselves from us. Immorality will come out of our lives, will come out of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what is required of us is to give the correct devotion to our salah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi.